The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word, and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel just read, Matthew 13:1-9 and 18-23, for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon title is Why the Word Does Not Always Bear Fruit. You could never guess that San Mateo County was once a farming region by looking at it now. After the Americans took control of California, in the 1850s they turned what had been vast acres of cattle ranches into farmland. By 1860, the agricultural output was impressive. In that year, San Mateo County marketed 200,000 pounds of butter, 23,000 pounds of cheese, 165,000 bushels of wheat, 100,000 bushels of oats, 2,882 barrels of beans, along with large quantities of corn, rice, wool, mutton, beef, and pork. The farmers who once worked the land under our feet knew that the quality of the soil on their farm determined its ultimate productivity. They could always drill wells for water or build dams and canals. They could always buy fertilizer or compost their own. But if the land was bad or mediocre, the crops would be too. The only solution to bad or mediocre land is either remediation or replacement of topsoil. And most of the time, that is hardly worth the effort or expense. This fundamental principle of farming is the basis for one of Jesus' most important parables. It is our gospel lesson for this Sunday, and may also be found in Mark chapter 4, 1-20, and Luke 8, 4-15. The immediate setting was the Sea of Galilee. Jesus sat down on the shore, and his disciples gathered around him to listen and learn more about the kingdom of God. Soon, large crowds from the seaside villages had surrounded the small group, so that Jesus had to get out into a boat, and from there he taught the crowds many things in parables. The disciples looked around them as Jesus was teaching, and they were impressed with the numbers of people that kept coming. Since he was out in the lake, he could not heal anyone. This was exclusively a time for preaching and teaching, and most of it in parables. The disciples of Jesus began to think, "Wow, look at all these people coming just to hear Jesus preach. We're going to have a movement here pretty soon if this keeps growing." The disciples began to daydream about their roles in this movement when Jesus caught their attention with a new parable that was meant just for them. The parable of the sower is about a farmer who is planting his crops by sowing seed. The farmer plants seed in the entire plot of land which belongs to him. He knows that the quality of the soil will determine the productivity of the seed, but that does not deter him from planting the seed everywhere in his plot of land. Why does he do that? It's because he has more seed than land, and he figures he might as well get a little bit of produce out of the poor land than nothing at all from those parts. Jesus continues the parable by detailing what types of land the farmer has in his plot. Some of his land includes the wagon trail. The wagons, horses, oxen, and his farm hands tramp down that soil so that it is almost useless, but he still plants there. Other parts of his land have rocks that are too big to remove, but he still plants there. Another part of his land is next to his neighbor, who rarely works his land, so that weeds are a constant pest over there, but he still plants there. Then, of course, there are the good parts of the land, where the crops always grow as they should. After the preaching and teaching was over, and the crowds were dispersing, Jesus' disciples came up to him and asked what this parable was supposed to mean, and why he taught people in obscure parables. In verses 11 to 17, which is not part of our gospel, it's in between the two parts that we read today, In those verses, Jesus explained that he taught in parables because the crowds of people would not understand him anyway. Verse 14. In verse 15, he called the people in the crowds hard-hearted, and he said that they hardly hear with their ears, and that they have closed their eyes to the gospel and God's truth. And that's why Jesus taught in parables, to intrigue them, parables that they couldn't forget, and maybe someday would learn the truth about them. Then Jesus explained the parable of the sower to his disciples. The seed being sown by the farmer is the message about the kingdom of heaven, and that is what we today call the gospel. The gospel is the seed. The land where the seed is being sown are human beings. The wagon trail part of the farmer's land are people who do not understand the gospel, like the crowds that were dispersing and going away. Because they do not understand it, the devil comes and takes it away, so they don't even remember what was preached to them years later. The rocky part of the farmer's land are people who do understand the gospel. They receive it joyfully. They are baptized and catechized, and they become full members of a congregation. But when trouble comes to them because of the gospel, they fall away from the faith and from the church. The weedy part of the farmer's land are people who also understand the gospel, receive it with joy, are baptized, catechized, and become full members of a congregation. But then, all the worries of their generation grab hold of their attention, and they are especially tempted by wealth and all of its opportunities. And so wealth chokes out whatever fruit might have come from their faith. The good soil of the farmer's land are people who do understand the gospel, receive it joyfully, are baptized, catechized, become full members of a congregation, and persist in their faith until the end of their life. Through their persistence, their regular hearing of the word, the regular confession of their sins, their regular receiving of the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit grows and their faith matures, so that they produce the classic Christian virtues called the Beatitudes, as well as many good works. Through their good works and support of the church, they produce more seed, and that is the gospel for the next generation to come, for people of the community, and for unbelievers throughout the world. Jesus was not just telling a story with his parable of the sower. He was answering a question that would bother his disciples years later after his ascension into heaven. And that question was, why does the gospel not always bear fruit? With this parable, Jesus was preparing the 12 apostles, the pastors that they would ordain, and all future pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and late supporters for the actual nature of church work. As an evangelist or missionary, you can have the purest seed in the world, that is, the preaching of the gospel straight from the lips of Jesus and the apostles in the language of the people, but people will still turn away and sometimes harass and persecute you. As a pastor, you can have the purest gospel seed, the best training, and the friendliest manner, but youth will still drop out of the church after being confirmed, and or those people who are lifelong members may end up being your biggest opponents and a constant cause of offense for visitors and members. The actual nature of church work causes many novices to quit after the first couple of years. St. Mark, the man who wrote our Gospel of Mark, joined Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. But when things got tough and their churches were not growing, Mark quit the journey at the town of Perga and journeyed back to Jerusalem, Acts 13, verse 13. I know several men from my seminary class who quit the ministry after the first couple of years, and that continues to occur. But I also know that the perseverance rate for our graduates from our two seminaries is much better than what is happening to ministers from mainline seminaries today. Is there anything we can do about this problem of the gospel's failure to produce fruit? An entire movement devoted to increasing the gospel's productivity arose in the latter 20th century called the Church Growth Movement. Some of it was nothing more than a repackaging of lessons learned by centuries of previous generations of pastors and missionaries, and there was no real harm in that. But other parts of the movement were very harmful. For example, the movement's homogeneity principle said that it is okay to have segregated churches and to discriminate against minorities in the church. Another example was its denigration of traditional hymns and liturgy, turning worship into a rock concert with ad hoc devotions. In the past, I've criticized the church growth movement, and I made many enemies because of that criticism. The most important lesson that you can learn from the parable of the sower is that the gospel does not always bear fruit when and where you want it to. We can and should study the cultures and generations to which the gospel is preached so that we can help those people understand what they are hearing and what they are reading in the Bible. But ultimately, all that we can do is plant seeds by preaching the true gospel and baptizing those who permit us to do so. May our Lord continue to bless our planting of seeds in San Mateo County for the salvation of souls and His glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.